Now, as we come to this very marvelous, wonderful book of Romans, there are two matters I'd like to talk about, and one is the man who wrote the epistle and the city to which he wrote the epistle. And, of course, when we get into the epistle, we'll see the third great matter, and that is the subject, which, of course, is the righteousness of God. Now, let me say just a word concerning Paul the Apostle. We've actually come now to a different method of revelation. God has used many ways to communicate to man. Gave the Pentateuch, the law, through Moses. He gave history. He gave poetry. He gave prophecy. He gave the Gospels. And we come to a new section, and they're epistles. Dr. Deismann tried to make a division between epistles and letters. He wrote a very ponderous tome, Light from the Ancient East, and he examined the papyri that was found at Oxyrhynchus in Egypt. And he tried to make a division that a great many scholars today think is entirely false, and therefore Paul's epistle to the Romans is an epistle, and it's a letter. You don't make a division like that. It becomes very personal. And these letters that we have, these epistles, they are so warm and so personal that as far as you and I are concerned, it's just as if it came by special delivery mail to us today. And the Lord is speaking to us in each one of these very wonderful letters that Paul wrote to these different churches and the other apostles also. Now, Paul makes this statement in the 15th chapter of Romans at verse 15. Let me read this. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that's given to me of God that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul makes it very clear that he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He also makes it very clear that Simon Peter was the apostle to the nation Israel. He says, for instance, in Galatians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9, he says, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision. Therefore, you see that Paul was peculiarly the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, when you read the last chapter of Romans and see all those people that Paul knew, most of them are Gentiles. The church in Rome was largely a Gentile church. Now, Paul also makes it very clear that if somebody else had founded the church in Rome, he would never have gone there. He says, for instance, that he was eager to go there. He says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now, he wanted to go to Rome to preach the gospel. And in the 26th chapter of Acts, verse 17, why, the Lord, who appeared to Paul, told him, as he gave his great message to Agrippa, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, Paul makes it also very clear he'd never have gone to Rome, although he was eager to go, if anyone else had preached the gospel ahead of him. In Romans 15, verse 20, he says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. And Paul just didn't go where another apostle had been. So no one had been to Rome.